Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight we look at the first word of our Lord from the cross, but the story begins long before. It begins with the birth of two sons. When the first one, Cain, is born, Mother Eve rejoices, "I have acquired a man, the Lord." She's persuaded that God's promises are already coming true, that she's already given birth to the Savior God promised in the garden. She's in for a bit of a surprise. Adam can't be disappointed with his firstborn son either. Cain grows up to be a farmer, a tiller of the ground, just like dear old dad. Abel is the second son, a fine boy in his own right, but rather than a tiller of the ground, Abel grows up to be a keeper of the sheep. And eventually, the sons of Adam both offer sacrifices to God. God accepts Abel's sacrifice because Abel makes the sacrifice in thanksgiving, by faith. However, God rejects Cain's offering, for Cain's motives were far different. And this leaves Cain furious, jealous, tempted. Tempted enough to lure his brother into a field, and there the wages of sin proved to be death, Cain lashes out. The first murder is committed. The first one to die because of sin is a shepherd who makes a pleasing sacrifice to God. And now the cover-up begins. The Lord asks Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And Cain responds, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" I do not know. Pretty pathetic, isn't it? God's not asking because he needs information. He's giving Cain the opportunity to confess. But there's no confession to be heard. Instead, we have the first pleading of the fifth. I do not know. Whether Cain will admit his wrongdoing or not, there are still consequences. The Lord says, "The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a wanderer, you shall be on the earth." Cain poured Abel's blood into the ground, so the ground will no longer cooperate with its tiller. Cain's response to that, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Notice he's not grieving what he's done. He's grieving the consequence, the punishment. And he's protesting the consequence. But at least he's not protesting his innocence. "I don't know" doesn't last very long before the Lord. So Cain is now speaking the truth. His sin and his punishment are more than he can bear and live. He's staring death in the face. And he's worried. He says, "People can see me and they're going to want to kill me." So what does the Lord do? Along with the consequences, he speaks words of kindness. He promises protection for Cain as long as he lives. More than that, he's already promised a Savior to Cain's parents. And the Savior is even for Cain. You see, when the Lord confronts sin, he doesn't say, "I don't know." He calls sin what it is in his law. And he promises forgiveness for those who return to him. A similar set of events takes place many centuries later. This time it's a whole mob of Cains on a murderous mission. As they lead this Abel to the countryside, there is fury, there is jealousy, and finally the shout goes up, "Crucify him!" In some ways, this Abel has a lot in common with the murdered brother in Genesis 4. He too is a shepherd, the good shepherd, as a matter of fact. And like the Abel of old, he makes a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. That sacrifice is underway at the Hill of the Skull. Now, in other ways, he's far different from the Abel of Genesis. When Abel's blood was spilled into the ground, God said it cried out. When Jesus' blood is shed, the ground shakes. And as he's hoisted into the air for this far more excruciating death, he speaks, and his first words are astonishing. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." With those words, it's clear. This isn't just a murder. This isn't just a mob lynching. This is a sacrifice. This is an intentional sacrifice being carried out by the greatest priest of all time. I say that because in the Old Testament, as priests offered sacrifices, they explained to the crowd what they were doing. This priest does the same. "Father, forgive them." He announces this staggering truth. He's not on the cross because they wrestled him onto it. He's there voluntarily at the will of his Father in heaven. He's making the pleasing sacrifice for the sins of the world. The priest is the sacrifice for sin. The good shepherd is laying down his life for the sheep. Near the beginning of the world, Cain defiantly said, "I do not know." And centuries later, Jesus agreed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Nailed to the cross, he does not pray for himself first, but for those who put him there. And did you see? He does not wish their destruction. He wants them to know the truth of divine love. So what does this all mean for you? When confronted with sin, a favorite human answer is, "I don't know." Just like Cain, spoken in denial that the sin ever happened. It's easier. It's easier to deny we did it than to admit we could be that bad. You ever notice people like to build a comfort zone of ignorance around carefully calculated sin? "I didn't know it was that kind of event. I didn't know it would lead to something worse. I didn't know it was yours when I took it. It's as if we believe we're not guilty of sin if we can frame it in a way that makes it look like it was done in ignorance. And in that case, the truth is not that we didn't know better, but that we've willfully planned to deceive so that we could make an intentional sin appear accidental. Sin piled upon sin piled upon sin. And then there's the I don't know of impulsive sin. How could you do something so wrong, you may be asked, and you may say in the moment, I don't know. The real answer, how could you do something so wrong? How could I do something so wrong? Is because I am so wrong. We don't like going there, do we? The Lord doesn't say that you're innocent until proven guilty. He doesn't say that sins done in ignorance offend Him less. He doesn't say that you can get rid of your sin by denying it happened. Sins that we got away with are still sins. Sins we didn't even realize we committed are still sins. And the Lord tells you all of this for one purpose. It's to humble you down to the point of accepting that your sin problem is worse than you ever cared to admit. In fact, your sin problem is killing you. But look to the Savior on the cross. And listen. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus knows that you may not even know why you do the bad you do. And knowing that, He does not reject you. He prays for you as He pays for you. The priest is explaining this blood sacrifice is to settle your account with God. This is for the forgiveness of your debt. Have you embraced sin? It's not too late to break things off. Turn to Jesus and be forgiven. Have you faked ignorance to excuse yourself? Christ died for this too, to give you genuine grace. Have you sinned because you truly didn't know any better? The blood of Jesus has you covered. The only way you cannot be saved is to cling to your sin and refuse the forgiveness of Jesus, to love your sin more than you love the Savior. Listen. The priest is explaining the sacrifice. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, teach us what it means to truly turn around and to go back in Your direction, to let go of the sin that is killing us, and to open ourselves up to the forgiveness that brings life, real life, connection to You, and purpose that goes beyond anything we could dream up for ourselves. In an old hymn, Father, it says, Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. the marvel and the majesty of your mercy is that Jesus did not seek revenge when being put to death. He was thinking of our forgiveness even as he died. We can have that forgiveness simply and truly by faith. Give each of us your Holy Spirit that we may take this great gift tonight and every day of our lives. In your holy name we ask it. Amen.